If the world seems to be ever more chaotic, you are not imagining it. Getting your financial affairs in order is essential. That is what a Common Sense Retirement Roadmap will do for you. Combining lifetime income with Stanford University recommended RIGs and tactical portfolio strategies to help you address inflation, we can help you weather this instability. Go to csrp.info for an appointment. And remember, common sense is what defines us.
Securities offered through Madison Avenue Securities, LLC, NAS member FINRA SIPC. Investing involves risk. All guarantees refer to insurance products which are backed by the claims paying ability of the issuing company.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
On the verge of a spending agreement on Capitol Hill, you heard President-elect Donald Trump voice concerns after part of the Doge duo said the bill is full of Democratic pork. Now, in a post on X, Musk said this, the bill should not pass. A new bill that isn't an insane crime against the American people should be done in 33 days. Now, President-elect Donald Trump has added on Truth Social that any Republican voting for this bill should be primaried.
Just an example of how constituents were calling their congressman. This is Andy Barr from Kentucky yesterday, saying that my phone was ringing off the hook. And you know why? Because they were reading the tweets from X, from Musk and then Ramaswamy, and they were telling me that they were and that they were listening to them. And so you have this sudden change up on Capitol Hill. Larry, your thoughts?
Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy have a lot of political influence right now because, you know, they highlighted a lot of the pork, I mean, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of pork and J6 cover up and censorship and all the stuff that people don't want. They highlighted that. They got it out. They tweeted it. They sent it around to the transition team and so forth. And they blew it up. And President Trump was on board with blowing it up. So you can see what kind of power they have. And I think they're going to continue to have that power for quite some time.
What happened on the Hill yesterday, what happened in the swamp, was something I've never seen in my entire lifetime. And I used to work up there. For just one day, and maybe this will continue, the most powerful people on Capitol Hill weren't the donors or the lobbyists or the powerful leaders of both parties. They were people with X accounts. X accounts so big that they get more likes, more shares, more eyeballs viewing them in a day than CNN gets viewers in an entire month. Their accounts like Cat Turd, DC Drano, Libs of TikTok, together in a single day, racking up hundreds of millions of views. By the end of the day, the outrageous, liberty-crippling bill that Mike Johnson and the Democrats had put together behind closed doors imploded. And the Democrats, because let's face it, this is pretty much what they wanted, screamed in rage. But here's what's really telling. None of that rage was directed at Trump at all. In fact, he wasn't even mentioned in some of their enraged tweets. They blamed it all on Elon. Let me give you an example. There's a liberal Democrat congressman by the name of Maxwell Frost from Florida. He wrote this. And just like that, Republican unelected co-president Elon Musk has killed the bill to keep the government from shutting down on Friday. All he had to do was make a few social media posts. Note there's no mention of Trump in there. Well, he didn't make the social media posts. Regular people did. He just retweeted them. And those regular people did something we've never seen before in the modern era. They tore that bill apart. Turns out it was a poverty and inflation-inducing, liberty-crushing horror show. 1,500 pages long. It was only originally supposed to be 30 pages. But remember what Nancy Pelosi said. We have to pass the bill to find out what's in it. And that's how the Republican and Democrat leadership have governed, churning out massive bills, passing them so quickly even members of Congress can't read them. For years, we haven't learned about the betrayal in these bills until weeks and sometimes months later, as we've combed through them and the Daily Caller gets a tip and they go report it. No, they were no match this time for the raw power of X and the real citizen journalism done on it. Within an hour of that bill being made public, the horror show inside of it began to trend down the side of X in post after post after post from just regular citizen journalists, people with X accounts, big and small. And see, that's what Representative Frost gets wrong when he blames unelected co-president Elon Musk for killing the bill. Musk is a popular guy, and he could probably do some damage to you if he wanted to, but he's not powerful enough alone to kill a bill. No, Musk didn't do this. The platform did this. The freedom, the lack of censorship did this. It was Musk who stopped the bill, but it was the now uncensored, and as a result, highly educated mob of American voters standing digitally behind him in the breach that stopped this bill. Again, we've never seen anything like this since the founding. Now, for most of that time, it's because we didn't have the technology like this. The last time the mob wielded this kind of power and their weapon is real information was in 2016, before the censorship began. The FBI and the deep state crushed it for years, but now it's reached its zenith. Hell, I don't know. It's still growing. Now, in the beginning of all of this, if you watch the initial hours as the rage over what Mike Johnson had done spread on X, you'll notice something. Trump wasn't saying much. He was going to let this pass. And I'll tell you why. He didn't have much choice. To understand Trump and what's happened here for him, you got to read Truth Social simultaneously. And you have to know this. Trump lost the first 2 years of his last presidency to the dirtbag Paul Ryan, who was speaker. Trump's biggest mistake was that when Ryan, who'd been a huge critic of his, tried to beat him during the 2016 election, when Ryan offered to resign, Trump should have accepted his resignation, but he left him in place. Thought it could work with a douchebag coalition of GOP leaders. Well, the first budget that Trump ever submitted met his campaign promises. It was completely balanced and would have eliminated most of the debt within 5 to 7 years. But Republican Speaker Paul Ryan chucked it in the trash, and it was never heard from again. And Trump learned something. He couldn't take on the entire Rhino leadership by himself. After that, they captured him, and he signed their budgets loaded with pork, paid for with printing and with borrowing. It's been devastating. By the time it was over, a cabal, and we got to be honest about history, of Trump and Democrats voted for a temporary 40% expansion. The federal spending in the middle of COVID. Now, it was supposed to be temporary, and Trump said that at the time, but GOP leadership, after Trump was no longer president, would stab everyone in the back, Kevin McCarthy, when he was speaker, and lock it in. That was the betrayal that cost him his speakership, and he deserved to lose his speakership. So you got to understand, Trump as one man alone was never powerful enough to stand up to this. It's widely believed in Washington, if you don't go along with the current printing and borrowing levels and expand them, that you will lose your power. Most Americans aren't aware of this outrageous fact. You know, the Republicans actually won control of the House in 2022. All budgets originate from the House. They should have had total control over the purse strings. But incredibly, it was as if they never won, because they just kept passing Nancy Pelosi's budget. In other words, they just continued it and continued it and continued it, with, of course, increases in spending. So everything the GOP Congress has done for the last 2 years have been Democrat spending priorities. That's how we spent over $20 million paying illegal immigrants to come here and paying for their trips, running the money through NGOs and the State Department and the UN. Republicans never even attempted to put together a budget of their own. They just passed Nancy's. Honest to God, I don't know that it would have looked much different if the Democrats just went on ruling. That's how ridiculous this got. And Mike Johnson clearly thought our speaker that it was just going to go on this way and we'd all continue pretending that the GOP was actually governing instead of passing Democrat budget priorities again and again. Well, that got shattered yesterday in a spectacular way that made the most powerful people on the Hill. I love this because this is actual democracy in action. The most powerful people on the Hill, those with the biggest Twitter accounts. Not the lobbyist, not George Soros, not the big donor class, but the people with the biggest Twitter accounts. This, folks, I have never had so much fun watching something in my entire life, at least politically, as I did yesterday watching the total destruction of Mike Johnson's bill and ultimately Mike Johnson. Now, back to Donald Trump and Truth Social. Go read his feed from yesterday if you get a chance, or I'll tell you what was in it. By 4 o'clock, he was using the word treason in the same reposts as Mike Johnson's name, accusing him of treason and demanding that people call, and he gave a number in D.C., to stop Mike Johnson and the rhinos. He even posted a picture of Mike Johnson dressed as Nancy Pelosi and called him Speaker Mike Pelosi. And then he demanded that he be removed as Speaker in January. Again, Trump and Mike Johnson were BFFs as recent as last week. I mean, do you remember the MMA event at Madison Square Garden in the days after Trump's victory and how Trump and Elon Musk walked in like conquering gods and then right behind them, Tulsi Gabbard and Mike Johnson? I couldn't help but think to myself, oh my gosh, you should put Mike behind you. He'll shank you. So in the space of less than 12 hours, the old Trump we haven't seen in years returned, the one who submitted his first budget balanced with an aim and a very real plan to knock out the debt, which was extremely, you know, much lower than it is today at the time. That Trump was unleashed yesterday on Truth Social. I was wondering if he was still even in there or if he had completely bought into the idea of we'll just print and borrow everything. Apparently not. By yesterday evening, J.D. Vance was dispatched to sit down with Mike in his office. At the same time, other miraculous flexes of power occurred that you wouldn't have seen otherwise without the ex-mob, because no one can stand alone like that. For instance, Rand Paul, who tweeted, "I hope to see Speaker Johnson grow a spine, but this bill full of pork shows he is a weak, weak man. The debt will continue to grow. Ultimately, the dollar will fail. Democrats are clueless and big government Republicans are complicit. A sad day for America." Well, Rand Paul announced, because senators have this power, he's going to put a hold on this bill should Mike Johnson, with Democrat votes, somehow manage to get it through the House. And that, by the way, that's how Johnson's been passing these funding packages, with a majority of Democrat votes, almost all Democrats falling in line, and then a handful of Republicans. So he's not even really our speaker anymore. He's more like the Democrat speaker, which is, by the way, when his speakership was challenged not too long ago for the second time, the Democrats saved him with their votes. That's how bad this has become and the abuse we've gotten used to. Well, Rand Paul's saying, listen, I'm putting a hold on this. And if you guys want to increase spending by billions, you can do that, but you're not borrowing and printing it. You're going to have to find cuts elsewhere, or I'm not letting this move and we'll just shut the government down. So they're double blocked right now. Here's the thing. A single sit-alone senator, yes, has the power to do that, but wouldn't dare without an army backing him. He can't do it alone. He can't be the only guy doing this. He was able to do what we've always been able to do, play hardball and block these bills because of the mob standing behind Elon Musk, who's standing behind him. And it was just in time, given the horror show that Mike Johnson, the Republican leadership, and the Democrats had buried in this bill, which ironically was a bid to censor Musk and all the people who stopped the bill, the ones in their pajamas with the Twitter account. See, there's something at the State Department called the Global Engagement Center. Elon Musk has been screaming bloody murder about them, and he's right to. What it is an arm of the government that threatens, cajoles, and bullies big companies until conservatives and only conservatives and Republicans are censored. And what it does is it creates a disinformation index, and then it pushes corporations, big advertising agencies to make sure that the businesses they own or represent in no way advertise on platforms like Daily Caller, X, Breitbart, But also that their advertisements don't appear anywhere, you know, in the perimeter of those sites. So think on Google, right? Well, what that forces is Google to algorithm them down to nothing so those ads don't appear, and it keeps them from getting advertising revenue that they have rightly earned by hits and clicks, and that, by the way, they would get and be paid for if they were Huffington Post or New York Times. It further directs all that money that should have been theirs to liberal lying media that actually completely disinforms. So it's called the Global Engagement Center. And the effect of censorship because of it literally could cost us the next election. I mean, it's that big of a deal. And so when you have a Republican leader like Mike Johnson on board, and go ahead and blame Steve Scalise too. He's the number two in charge. When you have Republican leaders going behind closed doors to collude with the Democrats to censor their own voters, I mean, that is a total horror show. But listen to what happened. The Congress had authorized the existence of the center 7 years ago, and it was only authorized to exist for 7 years. Then it would have to be renewed. Well, the State Department had sent a notice to Congress saying they were going to let it expire. Part of the reason for that is that the center had been effectively sued, and a judge had found it was operating unconstitutionally because Congress had never given it the authorization to censor, you know, targeted censorship at conservatives. In other words, it was acting outside its funding mandate. So Mike Johnson and the Republicans not only added the funding back, they gave them the mandate. I mean, can you imagine the Democrats colluding to censor their own voters? I mean, it's unfathomable. They'd never do it. Never mind. It's also unconstitutional. Folks, this is the stuff I guarantee you Democrats sit around at the DNC and laugh till they cry about, this level of grinding stupidity and, quite frankly, evil. Yeah, well, within minutes of this bill coming out, that was trending on X. Everybody knew it. The Republicans were totally exposed, censoring their own people. Folks, had this passed, you can't even blame the deep state for censoring us anymore. It's our own Republican leaders. And of course, we all know who this is aimed at. It is aimed at crushing the growing Republican / conservative media that has been so effective that when amplified on X, it gets Donald Trump elected every time, as it did in 2016, the last election he was in with no censorship. Meanwhile, just to quickly recap the rest of the horror show, Mike Johnson and the GOP leadership, you know, just literally crapped into this bill. The new spending bill allows, get this, vaccine and mask mandates at the national level, because everybody wants that. Expanded emergency powers to shut down, again at the national level. Gain of function research and 12 new biological centers to do it out of. And listen to this, the worst part of all, my Battleground America listeners, you guys know what this is, vaccine passports. Hello, horror show. Those were used in Europe, by the way. If you hadn't gotten all your vaccines as mandated by the government, you didn't get to go to work. But remember how vaccine passports actually operate. They're really digital IDs, identical to what Nikki Haley said she would implement the first day, identical to what they're implementing actually now in Europe. Yes, they track your vaccine status. Yes, they have your health records attached, but they also have all your bank records attached. Again, they act as digital IDs and ultimately pass keys that can be used, number one, to track you because you keep them on your phone. That's part of the function. But also they can be used as sort of digital keys like you have in China, where if you don't have one in good standing, you can't even use the internet. So that would have been the beginning of an absolute totalitarian state where you can't even, you know, post online if your credentials and your vaccines aren't in order. Nobody wants this. Nobody voted for this. By the way, also in there was a provision that would have made members of Congress and their staffs immune from subpoenas. Can you imagine? Congress, the Democrat Congress, actually just put Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro in federal prison for defying subpoenas and not coming in to testify. By the way, Hunter Biden did the same thing and he just laughed at them. He didn't have to go to prison because, you know, dual justice system, right? So Congress can level these subpoenas at people, but Congress would be immune from them? You know what that'd do, right? That would provide them absolute protection from their crimes. Folks, if they want to conduct all kinds of financial crimes or God knows what other kind of crime, all they got to do is send it on their congressional email. Covered. in a court of law. Can you imagine? This is beyond how corrupt politicians act. This is how criminal syndicates behave. But pretty much the last straw, and this was amazing, was both Elon Musk and Donald Trump posting that anybody who votes for this is going to be primaried. And I want to leave you with this to understand the power of that statement and what it means now, because this is the power Trump has always lacked against the rhinos, against the Republican leadership. Not his fault. He's just one man. He didn't have a mechanism. Now he does. And the political class understands perfectly what that means. I think in a way that even regular Americans, even the most educated ones on X, don't understand. See, Elon Musk spent $277 million getting Trump elected, in part to stay out of prison, but getting Trump elected, but also winning the Republican majority. But Musk isn't stupid like other GOP donors. He didn't give a cent of it to the party because it would have been frittered away and mostly sent to the districts of rhinos and liberal Republicans, while conservatives were left to flounder. If you want to know what that looks like, go look at the fact that Ted Cruz didn't get a single dime in Texas as he struggled to maintain that Senate seat from the GOP leadership. So it is a conservative crushing racket that acts as protection for those who vote for the Democrats. So Musk said, forget it, I'm not doing that. And what he did was built his own voter registration and turnout machine, completely separate from the Republican Party, but built to elect them. Okay, those in the know on Capitol Hill understand this. When Musk says, I'm going to primary you, boy, does he mean he's going to primary you. He means he's going to register voters in your district and he's going to turn them out and he's going to provide the money to your opponent to crush you. And folks, Elon Musk has reached such critical mass here. I don't even think he needs to provide his own money anymore. I think he could just say, hey, here's the pack to get rid of Congressman X who stabbed you in the back this way. Go ahead and contribute. I think he could raise millions if he wanted to, just given his reach. I don't even know that we need to depend on his money anymore. But here's the thing that Musk did, and people don't realize this. You know, he built the spaceships, revolutionized space travel, revolutionized cars. He did the same for voter turnout politics. Let me tell you how. His new system of registering voters is so effective. Something happened that we haven't seen since just after 9/11. And it was only a blip. In this country, for years and years and years and years, Democrats, by registration, have had the largest numbers. Number two has always been unaffiliated and then Republicans. We were always dragging. We always had to compromise because the party was just so small. And part of that was just the totally ineffective and corrupt way that the RNC was run. Okay, well, that's where we were in the beginning of the year. We were running with a president who was about to be a convicted felon, who was so radioactive. I don't know if you remember me screaming. Trump would stand outside the courtroom in New York and make those statements. The only people standing next to him were Secret Service. No one even wanted to be connected to him. 8 months later, Elon Musk builds this system. It's not just Musk. Obviously, a lot of things have happened. People were absolutely disgusted with what the Democrats did with lawfare, the 34-count felonies. I mean, I don't need to go over it again. But the system that Musk built, which he ran out of the key swing state of Pennsylvania, did something un-be-freaking-leavable in about 6 months. It's never been done before in modern politics. And I know because I wonk out on this stuff. It flipped it. Now, GOP is number one by registration. Number two is unaffiliated. Number three, Democrats. That's a combo of the uncensored truth getting out on X and probably the best voter registration and turnout machine I've ever seen built in my life, operated out of Elon Musk's PACs. The combo of those two things have led to unbelievable stats we haven't seen in my lifetime, like Republican Party favorability with people 18 to 34 plus 5. 48% favorable, 43% unfavorable. To give you some idea for the Democrats right now, it's 37% favorable, 54% unfavorable. In other words, they're 17 points underwater. We're 5 points in the black. That is a machine, and Musk built it. It is every bit as innovative as his spaceships, which means they're going to have to kill him. Seriously, I hope his security is as good as his tech, because the swamp is going to get desperate here. And you know what the deep state does when the swamp gets desperate. Look, folks, I don't know how this ends. And there will be days, many days, when we lose or when we have to compromise. OK, because we've got, they stole so many of these Congress seats, Republican Congress seats out of California, that we're dealing with a very narrow majority. So I don't want you to get the idea where I was going to win. We ride off into the sunset. There's going to be bad days here. But something fundamental has changed in this country. We are, for the first time in the modern political era, standing on solid footing, able to compete, and also able to police the crap that the Bush family injected into the Republican ranks right out of the party, which means Trump's truly going to own it for the first time, which means we can actually begin to hope to be able to try strategies that will save this country instead of spinning it into bankruptcy. Finally, I want to end this podcast with a remarkable clip from a very evil man who knows what he's talking about. Former Republican Speaker Kevin McCarthy on Laura Ingraham the other night. The guy is personally responsible for stabbing the Republicans in the back, voting with a majority of Democrat votes in an absolute betrayal to lock in the 40% expansion of federal government that happened during COVID. He's a bad, bad dude. But he's also a guy who knows what we're facing since he caused most of the disaster. Listen to this clip with him on Laura Ingraham, in which he's saying, if we don't get a hold of spending, we're going to have, he actually uses the word collapse, a word rhinos never use, but he would know. And he even corrects her, is saying, look, it's going to be within Trump's term if we don't stop this, if we don't get a handle on this. I don't like him, but you need to hear this guy.
Our interest on the debt is $1 trillion a year, more than our defense budget.
More than defense, first time, yes.
So that continues to happen. And is Congress just going to spend until no one will lend us money anymore? Because at some point, isn't Jerome Powell going to raise interest rates? And that's going to send this economy into a recession. If we don't get spending under control, if Doge doesn't do what Doge says it's going to help Congress do, is that not going to be a problem?
It's a tremendous, it's probably our greatest threat out there, debt, and it's within the next 4 years.
And to Trump, and to Trump's presidency,
to America itself. It's the greatest threat we have before us. Every great society that's overextended themselves has collapsed.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.